Slice of Life, and it's kind of a show that's gotten kind of eclectic, I guess. We're all over the place now. I hope I use that term correctly. Scott said something to me yesterday that somebody liked to be interviewed by somebody that would ask a question with a word in it that they had to look up. I think it was in a job interview thing. Kind of interesting. I try not to use words that people have to look up, but I do thoroughly enjoy looking up words that I hear on Meet the Press or any shows that are thoughtful shows and they use terms that I don't know. I look them up. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Some of the time, they're not right on how they use the terms. Not very often, but every once in a while, they use the term absolutely incorrectly. Anyway, I'm not the grammar or the spelling or the usage police, so we're going to leave that alone. Today, I'm hoping that we will have an interview. Well, it's not really going to be an interview. I'm just going to talk to a gentleman who was apparently at Woodstock. And we all know people that were at Woodstock, or so they say. Now, this one I'm pretty sure was there. I know his sister, and she has assured me that he was there. But we're not sure whether he can make the phone call today. So after 12:30 today, we will hopefully get this phone call. And now I'm trying to look up what his name is. I will find it here. Maybe. Here it is. Bill Davidge. And Bill is the sister of Marg Clark, who is married to Bill Clark, one of my favorite people in the world, who they're out all over the world right now in their RV. They're having a great time. I'm so happy for them. I think maybe my wife and I will go out in our RV here shortly. We go the local... The state parks allow anybody, I think, anybody with a Golden Buckeye card, and I think you can get those when you're 50 or 55. I'm not quite sure which. But I'm sorry, having a mental breakdown here. National or the state parks will allow you to stay for half price in their campground, which is fantastic. It takes it from like $24 down to $12 or $27 down to $13, whatever it is. Anyway, that's, I think my wife and I will do that. You know, another thing that was really neat, and I'm kind of concerned. I think that maybe the current resident of the White House has rescinded this, but I was able to buy a national park pass for, I think it was $10. And it was good for life because my wife and I were, I think the regulation is, I think you had to be over 60 or 65. And I've always wanted to go to all the national parks. I never will make all of them, but I've already made, I don't know, probably five or six. And with this pass, I've made it to a lot more without, you know, before I got the pass. Anyway, great interview this morning. Scott Spears did a fantastic job with Eleanor Clift, the lady that used to be on the why can't I remember his name? I need that pill that you can buy now for people that are getting older and having slight problems with their memory. The McDougal Report. Anyway, group. McDonald Group. That's wrong. Anyway, Eleanor was... she's just a bright lady. She thinks through things. He asks her questions. I like people who, if you ask them a question, they give a moment or even longer to their thought process on how they're going to respond. I enjoyed having a gentleman call me yesterday and ask me about what my position on guns were. And I had to stop and think, and I hope I answered that gentleman in a correct manner. It did give me pause, and I had to start thinking about things that I believe about guns. And the one thing that I absolutely know about guns is that people's guns will never be taken away. I don't care how progressive or left-wing or socialistic we become. People always want their guns to hunt. Some people are what I like to refer to as scaredy cats, and they're afraid that they're going to be they're going to have a home invasion, so they have a gun by their bed. Please, please lock it up. Don't let your kids get close to it. I think there will always be guns. There is no slippery slope that's going to make guns illegal totally in the United States. There are too many hunters. There are too many farmers that need them to protect their livestock, need them to get rid of the varmints that will eat up everything that we're supposed to be eating. So I wouldn't worry about it. Hey, you know, that reminds me. My son, my youngest son, is a vintner out in California. He makes wine. Barrels and barrels and barrels full of wine. It's great to we go out there and help him. But the winemakers, vintners, in areas where there are lots of birds, have guns. They're not really guns, they're cannons that fire off a loud retort to scare away the birds. I think that's so cool. A non-lethal method to scare the birds away from your grapes. Now Andrew does not have problems with birds because he's got Louie. And Louie is a little greyhound something or other mix that all Andrew or his wife Tara have to say is, "Louie, birds." And Louie tears out of the house and he goes scares the birds away. They have groundhogs. One of those two. They burrow underneath and causes the roots to be damaged. And so they have to put out traps to get those critters. Anyway, I back to the guns. I don't think my friends who have guns and hunt and that sort of thing, I don't think you'll have to worry about losing your guns. I was going to say in my lifetime, but in your grandchildren's lifetimes, I don't think you will have to worry about it. Anyway, I hope we get to talk with the gentleman, Bill Davidge. I'm probably mispronouncing his name, but I want to find out about what his thought process was in going to Woodstock. Woodstock is next week. It will be 50 years old. I think it's the 16th or something like that. But I'm really looking forward to and hoping that he can tell me what instigated his getting in a car, driving to Woodstock, sitting in rain for days and amongst 500,000 people and listening to music. And there were some groups that nobody had ever heard of that made their name at Woodstock. Jimi Hendrix is one that I think of, and I'm not sure how well known he was before it, but his national anthem was something. I used to be with the Vietnam era vets group down in Athens, who put on a show or put on a mountain bike race. We got up to 250, maybe a little more, bicycle racers, and it was quite a big race for the mountain bike racers. But anyway, one of the things that we did is we always played the national anthem, which some people questioned. The national anthem that we played was Jimi Hendrix, 8 minute, I think it's 8 minute version of the national anthem. That's a good question. Maybe we ought to look into that sometime. Was it sacrilegious? Well, that's not the term that we would use. Was it anti-political to use that type of national anthem? Are we offending Mother America by using a national anthem that is way out there? Roseanne was criticized highly for her kind of nasty version of the national anthem. Does that make you a bad person? I don't think it does. I think it makes you unique. those are the two that I can think of that were highly alternative versions of the national anthem. Hers was just bad, and Jimi Hendrix was just off the wall. He did every glissando and version of up and down on that guitar that anybody ever did. It goes on too long. I'm not a big fan of it because it's so long, and sometimes it becomes nonsensical. I was a musician, as many of you know, with the United States Army Field Band for 3 years, and prior to that, I was sang in a folk trio, the Overland Singers, which, by the way, occasionally you can buy one of our two albums on Amazon, and they cost amazing. Sometimes they're as high as $35, and they're not that good. Anyway, so I've been in music all my life. I was a violinist before all that, and sang in church choirs and so forth. And so I know a little bit about music, I really believe that the national anthem that was done by Jimi Hendrix was probably very technically difficult, whereas the one done by Roseanne Barr was very technically stupid, and she just screamed it. But I do not believe that the way she sang it was offensive to the United States. It was offensive to the people that were listening, but I don't think she intended to be offensive to the United States. But yeah, one of the things that I did this morning in thinking about Woodstock is I listened back through lots of the songs that were sung at Woodstock. And I told my wife as I left to do the show this morning, the songs were thoughtful. They were good. I really believe the music is very musical. But more so, the words were so thoughtful because we were in the middle of... We were in the middle of the Vietnam War. And they were saying, some of them were in the realm of love the one you're with. And so peace and love was very important. But a lot of them were not telling you to love the one you're with sexually, but love the one you're with as a human being. And I always loved that sentiment. That's why, even as an atheist, I'm good to people. As a matter of fact, I've been asked by people, why are you an atheist? Aren't you afraid of going to hell? And my feeling is I've always been a good person. My dad was a Methodist minister. I've tried to live by the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. I think the Old Testament should stay where it is. But the New Testament, if you live by the teachings of Jesus, you will be a good person. And if I do nothing less than follow the teachings of Jesus and try to be as good as I can to other people, why in the world, if I'm wrong, why in the world would he send me to a place that has a fiery lake? What good does that do? And how unchristian would that be? Anyway, I don't profess to be a religious scholar, but I have read the Bible from front to back. I did that because I got the God and Country Award as a scout, and that was kind of part of what my dad that said I had to do to qualify for that. And I did it. I can't honestly say I paid much attention while I was reading. I'm not a good reader. I have a little bit of dyslexia, apparently, and so I tend to fall asleep after I've read 10 or 15 minutes. But anyway, I know most. I can give you a little tidbit of what most religions look at or follow. I saw Mondo Cani. I think that was the movie where they went through all sorts of strange religions of believing in snakes that came from, I think it came from the teachings in the Old Testament about the snake providing Adam with the apple or whatever it was, Eve with the apple. And there are people that believe in beating themselves. There are groups that believe in the devil. They believe that they worship the devil. I just don't understand. How many different ways can we pervert our thought process because of religion? Anyway, just treat other people as good, as well as you can. The golden rule, as far as I'm concerned, has always been my number one rule. I'm going to treat you the way I would like to be treated. And I don't think that makes me any better than anybody else. I just think it's a good rule to live by. And quite frankly, it's a little bit selfish. If I treat you well, and I hope that you're going to treat me well, then I'll be treated well, and so therefore it is selfish, but it's also a good way of living. And unfortunately, with all these shootings that are going on right now, we have seemed to have lost our thought process around treat others as you would like to be treated. I hope we can get back to that someday. I think we've gone far afield, far away from that kind of attitude. And I would like to get back to that attitude. Well, Scott and I always have a discussion. Kind of help out on Charlie's show, and so I come here a couple hours early, and we sit in the back room, and we solve all the problems of the world in the back room. If you want an answer for anything, either Scott will give it to you or I'll give it to you. Many of which have not been completely baked. Some of them are only half baked. But we have a good time sitting back there and talking. And I can't remember now what I was going to tell you about that we talked about. So I guess I'm going to leave that alone. I know we were talking about the swirly and the crapper, but that wasn't what it was. Just to let you know, Charlie got a call today, and they were talking about the crapper, which was the name of given, I guess, to the toilet, because the man who invented it was named Mr. Crapper. Therefore, I guess that's not one of the seven dirty words that we're not supposed to say on the air. I guess we can say that because it's a man's name. Anyway, if you went to Woodstock, I'd love to hear from you. The number here is 740-383-9944. Or if you are interested in talking about the gun rules and lobbies. One of the things I was, when I ran for office, that I disagreed with is how many guns we now seem to have. And I truly believe that we ought to seriously consider making a lot of rules around guns. I'm not sure rules are always the answer. But we're not going to change our mores around guns. We're going to let people shoot everything. but I think we ought to, there are some things that it's, excuse me, it sounds like universal background checks is one of those things that our current president has at least on his desk. I'm not sure he's totally sincere about it. But then with this president, is he totally sincere about anything? But he does have that apparently on his desk, much opposed by many of the Republican senators, which probably means it won't get done again. And that's one of the laments that we hear a lot from parents of children that have been shot, husbands and wives of spouses who have been shot. They talk a good game in Washington, but they don't do anything. And that's been the current chant that has popped up now is do something. And I believe that popped up down in Dayton. Either was in Dayton or El Paso. I'm not quite sure which, but it was in Dayton because it was a chant that was chanted at our governor, he sounded at least thoughtful about it, and I appreciate him being thoughtful about it. It is not an issue that we should take lightly. We're killing way too many people, 260 or something like that, mass shootings this year. I really hope that we can find a way. It's kind of echoing the Vietnam era thing, whereas people had really, really gotten tired of seeing all the bodies come home draped in an American flag. In Vietnam, and people are tired of seeing babies put in coffins after another shooting at a daycare center, or innocent people in coffins after a shooting at a church. Aren't you tired of it? The only answer that I can see, and I think the only answer that is possible, is to cut back on the number of guns that are out there. The lethality, I made that word up, I think, but the lethality of the guns that we have and the magazines that we can put on that. The rhetoric seems to be that why do we need guns that can blow a person's arm off if it just hits their finger? Why do we need a barrel magazines that can hold 100 shots and that you can fire if you have the appropriate military style rifle, we can fire off all 100 shots in less than 100 seconds. Aren't you tired of getting up and there's another shooting today? We've had more than one a day in mass shootings in the United States. I'm tired of it. That's why I'm talking about it. That's one of the reasons why I ran for office, is because I was tired of hearing about little babies being killed. My opponent, Ms. Richardson, believes that women have no rights to say anything about their bodies. They should carry a raped fetus to the end. I absolutely disagree with that. She believes that we should all have guns and be allowed to have whatever guns are legal now. A lot of people believe that we should have guns. I believe that we can have guns, but there are sensible things, and I hate the term sensible gun laws, but there are sensible things that we can do to cut back on how many people are killed. Now, I understand a person with a Bowie knife going into a McDonald's can kill a lot of people. But I don't think they can kill nearly as many people as a person walking into a McDonald's with an AK-47 and a barrel magazine with 100 rounds of cop-killing bullets. Now, you tell me I'm wrong, and I'll tell you you're nuts. Anyway, I had a lot of discussions with people on the other side of that question when I was running for office, and they're allowed to have those answers, and they may be right. I learned a lot. I learned about muzzle velocity. I learned about why people feel they need that type of gun if they're going up into Alaska. You know, a grizzly bear is not going to slow down if you shoot him with a 22, but if you shoot him with an AR, whatever they're called, they're going to slow. They may not stop, but they're going to slow down, and you might be able to get away with it. I understand that. First of all, I don't know why anybody wants to go hunting in Alaska anyway, but I understand that there may be some needs for that. I think you should be required to get a permit to carry a high muzzle velocity rifle. And I think the permit should be based on things like where you're going to be. If you're in the military, I understand why the military has that. Let's face it, the military's job is to kill people, not to maim them, blow them away. I remember as a soldier, we learned, and I said this yesterday, we learned 7 or 8 ways you could kill somebody with a bayonet in 8 seconds or 10 seconds, something like that. It wasn't a very pleasant thing to learn, but I learned it, and I think I can still go through it. Not that I have a gun with a rifle with a bayonet on the end of it, but I probably could do most of the things. I'm not proud that I can. I don't know why I can. I understand why they taught me. At the time, we were in Vietnam, and a lot of Vietnam's battles were hand-to-hand or at least very close combat, and you needed to be able to protect yourself with that sort of information. Well, I'm not absolutely certain that my caller is going to call in. So far, he has not. But I appreciate Mark for at least trying to get him to call. And I would like to hear, maybe we'll try again for next week, somebody who went to Woodstock. I'd like to hear, why did you go to Woodstock? Most of the songs, and I watched a show on this, most of the songs and most of the, almost all of the 500,000 people were very kind. The songs were kind songs, telling people to love their friends, be with their friends. Some of them asked, why are we in Vietnam? And that was a good question as well. But I think it was 3 days, 3 or 4 days. Anyway, most of the people were very, very law-abiding. I shouldn't say law-abiding. They were probably smoking dope, and at the time, smoking dope was against the law. They were probably having open sex, which was probably against the law. And they were, several of them were naked, which was probably against the law. So law-abiding is not the word, but they were loving. Well, here we got a call. I'm going to take this call. And hello, you're on WWGH.
Yeah, well, I understand people got the right to bear arms, and they do, but I don't understand these very high-powerful guns. I don't know why the government just don't look into where you can't sell them, the high powerful ones, and, you know, maybe just have to rent them from the government, you know, fill out papers, see if you get it, uh-huh. Let them know what you're doing, how long you need it, and you bring it back, and that way, you know, it's not in your house. I mean, I know that's kind of crazy, but just do a sign-out thing. If they want to go shoot a bear, fine, but we want to know where you're going to shoot it. When you're going to shoot it,
and when you're bringing the gun back.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to get off of here. But okay. I think that'd be a good idea, too.
That's an interesting response. Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. What a good response that was. I've never heard of anybody say, go rent a gun if you want to go shooting a grizzly bear. Not a bad response. Why not be able to? If you have a need for that type of gun and you can demonstrate the need, have the government allow you to rent or borrow or issue you a one-month citation where you can carry that type of gun and then be required to bring that type of gun back and turn it into the local armory. A lot of cities still have local armories for their National Guard, and maybe that would work. What a great thought, listener. Thanks for calling in. He's right. Why do we need guns? I keep thinking the word or the speed of over 4,000 feet per second or something like that for muzzle velocity, and I'm sure that's wrong. But the muzzle velocity of these military-style weapons is, I would guess, more than double the muzzle velocity of a normal hunting rifle. And why do we need to have a bullet that when it goes in, it explodes everything inside? I can't imagine that's good for the meat if you're hunting for, I don't know, deer or, you know, even bear. I don't know why anybody wants to shoot either one of those things, because the one nice thing about going hunting for a bear is at least the bear has a chance. I don't know why people hunt. Anyway, I don't criticize them for hunting. That's their avocation. But I don't understand why it's fun to blow the head off of blow the insides out of a bear or any other animal. But then, too, my wife would point out to you that I avoid stepping on ants when I'm walking down the street. I think all living creatures should have the right to live. Now, I'm sure I step on ants occasionally, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But why intentionally kill them? I remember as a little guy, I would go out and I'd get a magnifying glass and I would fry them on the sidewalk. I am absolutely ashamed that I did that sort of thing. I know it's in the big scheme of things, it doesn't make a bit of difference that I know of. but to my religious friends, does God want you to kill animals just for the sake of killing them so you can put their horns up on your wall, or you can take a picture of them and show all your friends how many antlers the deer that you killed for no reason is? Now, I know there are people that eat venison. I'm not one of them. I'm not a big fan. The only venison I like is I do like deer jerky. For some reason or other, but it probably has to do with the amount of salt people put in it, which I'm not supposed to have because of my heart condition. And that's another thing for all those that listen to me. You don't have to put up with me for too long. I've got a heart condition. And I'm not a young man. I'm 73. I feel young, and I'm trying to stay young. But anyway... thank you, caller, for bringing up that point. What a great idea. Loan out the gun, rent it out, and require that you bring it back after you've gone hunting for your bear or whatever need you have. The other side of that question, though, is the problem with regulations, rules, laws is kind of obvious now under this administration. If the president doesn't want to abide by the rules, the laws, the subpoenas, all those things, he just says, don't do it. And for some reason or other, we allow them to get away with that. What is that? Come on, Republicans, we need you to stand up. I can honestly say I have a lot of Republican friends. My grandfather and grandmother absolutely hated Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They were dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, and I love them, but we need you to stand up now. I don't think anybody disagrees that our current president is a liar. If you do, well, I think you ought to read some interesting information. Anyway, I've got another call. I'm going to pick this one up, and I'm probably going to get lambasted. Hang on. You're on the air, WWGH. Thanks for calling.
Hi, it's the caller again about renting the guns out. I wasn't even saying for a month, you know, like a 2-week process. But when they got a file application, that gives the government plenty of time to do a background check.
True.
And if that person would decide to go off, maybe not the first time, but the third time they ran, to better track what was his pattern when he ran the first time. What was the pattern the second time? And try to figure out what goes through these crazy psychos' heads that do away with people. It's terrible.
I just love the idea. I've never heard that idea before.
maybe I need to email Trump.
There you go. There you go. I doubt you'll get a response. I've tried to email a lot of those government people and never get responses.
Hey, believe it or not, I emailed President Obama and got a response.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful for my mom. So that's what it was for.
Fantastic.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day. Bye-bye. What a good response. I do enjoy listening to people that agree with me or I agree with them, but I also enjoy listening to people that I disagree with. Scott and Scott Spears, the gentleman who I guess his title would be manager of this station, but he and I disagree. When we talk for a couple hours before, while Charlie's on and I'm kind of manning the store, we talk for a couple hours, and he and I disagree on things. I love listening to that because he has thoughtful reasons. We never argue. Well, I suppose we do argue a little bit. We disagree with each other, but I don't think of it as an argument. I think of it as a thinking process. And sometimes you have to think out loud, like this our gentleman caller that just made that call. We're just thinking out loud. Is that a good idea? It may be a horrible idea. It may be adding another level of bureaucracy that we don't need, but it also may be a great way to justify getting rid of guns of war, which the only reason why you'd want one is if you're going to go up in Alaska and shoot bear and you're afraid you might end up bear lunch. Or if, and maybe there are people that have jobs that they need to have that. And I can understand, but I think you should be, I think they should be highly watched. Weapons like that. Now, I've seen them shoot into a bucket of, I don't know, paraffin or something like that that has a similar consistency of a body. And you shoot with a 22 and the 22 bullet goes straight on through it. Would have killed it if you got shot right in the heart or something like that. But you shoot one of those high-velocity machines of war into this bucket of paraffin, and it just explodes. You don't need that. If you have to stop something like a grizzly bear that's coming to kill you, maybe then. And I also like the idea that our caller said not even a month. I was giving him a little bit of leeway so that I have a lot of friends that hunt, but and some of them tell me I'm crazy, and I probably am in some ways. I loved hearing his thoughts on that, and I love hearing my friends' thoughts that think I'm nuts. Because I learn from them, and I think that's all we have to do. And I've said this many times before, you don't have to agree with everybody, But what you should do is listen. Listen to everyone. When people are talking to you, they're not just doing that to air out their gums. They're trying to tell you something they believe in. Listen to them. Now, I know there are people that talk too much and you don't listen to. There are people that I should listen to that I don't sometimes, including my wife. I'm sorry, Carol. Anyway, but listen to them with critical ears. Know that if they're telling you something they believe in, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And you don't have to argue with them about it. Listen to them. Think critically whether what they're saying sounds reasonable, sounds thoughtful, sounds right. And then you can say, well, my wife told me the other day, I'm no longer going to be compliant on Facebook. If I see something on there from a friend of mine, not everybody, and you know how many ads are on Facebook anymore. It's almost all, seems like a 60 or 70% are ads that none of us should respond to. But if you have a friend that's on there that you respond to all the time and they say something really stupid, especially politically stupid, or really negative about someone, or she's going to respond by saying, I think you're wrong, and that's it. No absolute necessity for putting that little angry face up. I do, that's what I do when somebody says something I think is absolutely wrong. But I don't anymore. I don't do that on probably the majority of them that I see. A lot of them, if I don't know you, I'm not responding. I mean, even if you're a friend of mine, but I really don't know you, I'm not going to respond because I don't believe that people that I don't have a relationship, first of all, care what I think. They're just flapping their gums so that they can hear themselves do it. And not all people do that, but there are some bright people. I don't respond to a lot of people anymore. I've gotten more involved, and it's basically because I ran for office, and I think I owe it to the people that I ran for that I keep my opinion out there. I try not to say negative things about people. I just try to point out what my beliefs are. I must admit, I get so angry sometimes at some of the stupidity that I hear that I do get a little bit more vociferous, I think is the word. I tell them what I believe in a more strident way. Let's put it that way. I'm not real kind anymore to people that say things that I'm not going to even say what they say, but there are some really stupid things that people, racist things, anti-religious things, you all know that I'm an atheist by now, so I don't believe we should say bad things about other religions. Their religion is what they believe. It may even run their life. It may be the rudder for their life. So leave them alone. If it doesn't affect you, don't tell somebody that you're wrong. They may be more right than you are. How do you know? I know because my book tells me this. Well, their book tells them something else. So anyway, try to be critical, but also try to be kind to your listeners or the people you're talking to. I say listeners because I've been on radio so long, I'm starting to think of people as all people as listeners. Not true. Anyway, I hope that the discussion has at least given you food for thought. I'm sorry we didn't get our Woodstock participant on, maybe next week. But if you know somebody that participated in Woodstock or you were involved, give me a message at Glenn Coble, GLENNCOBLE hotmail.com. Hey, thank you very much for listening to A Progressive Life, and we'll be back on next week and on Wednesday and Thursday, and hopefully we will give you more things that you can either get mad at me for or enjoy. Bye-bye.
107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've